Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving 1025 at 1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Titans and Cardinals kind of practiced today. We'll get into that here in just a second. Caroline Fenton's here today. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how we doing?
Outstanding. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
Okay, so I'm going to let you two make a decision, and I will be the tiebreaker if I have to break the tie.
Okay.
But I would really like the two of you to decide amongst yourselves how we're going to start the show. Are we going to start the show with a full breakdown of what happened at practice today? Caroline was on the defensive field. I was on the offensive field, though there wasn't really a lot of offense versus defense until the very end. But we can either break down what we saw at practice today, and there were some encouraging things and some discouraging things today at practice. Or I can rant about something that's bothering me about the Titans. You two decide, and we'll do whatever you guys pick.
How about breakdown now, rant next?
Hard for me to make sure that I'll be able to. Everybody thinks that everything that I do apparently is contrived. So it's like that there's this whole, you know, that I can just rant on demand.
Well, I feel like if it's bothering you right now, it'll probably still be bothering you in 15 minutes, no?
There's probably a chance of that.
Ian,
your thoughts?
I think you have to manufacture it.
What would you rather hear, Ian?
I mean, what would I rather hear?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. What's the rant about?
I'm frustrated with the Titans.
About a certain thing in particular, I guess?
About a bunch of things.
Well,
about a bunch of things.
I don't know. Is it healthy to keep it on your chest, or would you feel better for the rest of the show if you just got it out of the way?
I would feel better if you would just pick.
I like Caroline's idea.
Okay.
All right, fine. There we go. All right. Full practice report. In the one-on-ones, I did write down little notes. Cody Hollister had a great catch. Cody Hollister had another good route, good catch on a touchdown. Racy McMath goosed number 7 for Arizona, whoever that is. I'm not sure exactly.
Number 7.
Arizona.
Byron Murphy Jr.
Okay, he goosed Byron Murphy Jr. so bad that probably embarrassed old Byron Murphy Sr. Let's see, any other?
Wherever he may be.
McMath dropped another one today. By the way,
he's been doing a whole lot of that
he
recently.
He is dropping the football way too much for me. In the two-on-twos, McMath had a drop. Woodside, incomplete, almost an interception intended for Kenzie. Bad catch something on Tannehill, Woodside complete to McMath, but I had bad catch something. I don't know what that word was. And that was the one-on-one. 7-on-7. Now, there's some good things 7-on-7. Tannehill, everything was short. Everything was complete. Everything was on time. Whatever. Malik gets out there for 7-on-7 against the twos. And Malik, I mean, he was poised. He was accurate. And I wrote it down. You know, ball came out quick on his second throw. Ball came out quick on his fourth throw. I mean, these were decisions that he hit these guys in rhythm. I mean, he threw the ball. Again, this is 7-on-7. We need the two-minute drill, something else. But 7-on-7, Malik Willis, I mean, the ball had zip. The ball was on time. The ball was to an open man. I mean, I thought that the 7-on-7 was the best 20 minutes of practice that I have seen from Malik Willis in a month. That is, there's one thing to be happy about today. It was Malik looks like he's gotten a lot more comfortable. He looked a lot better in the 7-on-7. I got to give Malik credit there. And he had a bomb that was complete to Mason Kinsey. But again, Willis in 7-on-7 in his second go-round. Completes it to Chestnut, whatever. Completes to Kinsey, quick. Completes to Kinsey, quick. And then I wrote good catch. And then either, was it 11-on-11 that Willis threw the bomb? Okay, yeah. No, I'm trying to find where Willis threw this bomb, because Willis threw a bomb in 7-on-7 that I liked. On offense, again, Tannehill was fine. Here you go, 11-on-11. Now, 11-on-11 was Titans versus Titans. I guess Arizona's banged up, so Arizona didn't want to practice a bunch against each other because they got so many guys hurt, which I don't know what the whole freaking point of being here is, but whatever. So the Titans went 11-on-11 with each other. Derrick Henry got a handoff and 11-on-11 with the pads on. All right, that was
all
nice.
All right.
Here was something I didn't like. First down, Titans run with Derrick Henry. The ref throws a flag, and he does the false start motion, but it wasn't a false start because he didn't blow it dead, which means it's a legal procedure. So I went up to the official, and I asked the line judge. I asked him, number nine, I said, what was the flag on? He told me the right tackle, number 78, so Petit Ferrer. Mm-hmm. The right tackle did not have his helmet. No. I think it was either he didn't have his helmet behind the waist of the center or he didn't have his waist behind the helmet of the center. Here you go. The helmet, 78's helmet, did not break the waistline of the center. So there you go.
Okay.
You know these football rules that nobody really cares about? I don't know. I know that his helmet did not break the waistline of the center. I've never heard of that before.
That seems incredibly picky.
But I also don't know how many people technically are supposed to be on or off the line of scrimmage at one given time. So what do I know? But, so illegal procedure. So think about a drive where they get a first down because on the third and seven before, Tannehill hit Kyle Phillips and he gained nine. Then Petit Ferrer, move it back 5 yards. So now it's first and 15. Then Tannehill had a completion in which Bud Dupree bit on his fake on a play action pass. He gains 10, third and 5. False start, 78. So, again, we
kind of becoming a habit with him.
Spent all day yesterday bitching about right tackle and false start, 78. So, I didn't like that.
All the false starts. I mean, Nicholas Petit Ferrer today, and then on Saturday, it was false start after false start after false start. It's becoming a perpetual issue.
And some of those false starts are on guys I never heard of, or Raiden's had a big false start. I don't care about those guys because those guys aren't going to play. But 78 right now is starting at right tackle. And so that I care about. Let's see. Willis in the 7-on-7, he was fine the rest of the time. And then he threw a bomb to Mason Kinsey at one point in 7-on-7. 11-on-11, Tannehill was fine. Threw one to Des Fitzpatrick. Farley had a nice breakup on. Then the two-minute drill. And the two-minute drill, they were freaking awful. The Titans were horrible in the two-minute drill. They had their first 2 minutes to go. Ball at the 20-yard line, their own 20, no timeouts. Tannehill to Hooper, incomplete. Tannehill complete to Hooper, out of bounds. Complete to Phillips, short inbounds. 50 seconds, incomplete for Phillips. Tannehill, 45 seconds, complete to Des. Offsides, Arizona. Vrabel started, by the way, complaining about how the refs were throwing too many flags during the two-minute drill. And, Mike, you're not going to be able to complain about them throwing too many flags in a regular season game. Ball at the Arizona 45, 39 seconds to go. Tannehill incomplete for Des to the left side. He wasn't out of his break yet. Third and 8, Tannehill incomplete in the middle. He threw high for Phillips. So with 31 seconds, fourth and 8, Tannehill takes a shot deep for Phillips into double coverage. Honestly, Phillips should have caught the ball. And he didn't. Now, the two guys were ready to kill him, and they kind of did anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, it was some helmet-on-helmet clacking right there. But Phillips dropped the ball. Again, Tannehill put it in the perfect spot on fourth and 8. Incomplete. Game over. Kyler comes out, and they go down the field, and they would have had a shot at a Hail Mary after they had an illegal formation. They had two flags for illegal formation in the Arizona two-minute drill, but Cliff Kingsbury decided not to throw the Hail Mary. Cliff Kingsbury doesn't seem to be very interested in practicing, but I digress. Malik threw an interception right off the bat. Trace McSorley, by the way, in the two-minute drill, Trace McSorley was the best quarterback of the four quarterbacks played. Between Tannehill, Murray, Willis, and Trace McSorley, he was by far the best one. They scored a touchdown. Chris Jackson got dusted. Tannehill's second go at it, the two-minute drill, got sacked again, and he threw an interception there with 11 seconds to go down around the 15-yard line. So all in all, it was sloppy. There were some good things. There was, Tannehill good in 7-on-7. Malik really good in 7-on-7. Treylon Burks left early again. We don't know why. Injury, asthma, I don't know. I have my thoughts on that. Caroline, your thoughts on the defensive side of the ball.
In one-on-ones, Arizona went 8 of 19, and they rotated in Jarrett Garantano, Kyler Murray, and Trace McSorley. So, I mean, take all of that with a grain of
Does
salt.
Does Garantano still stink?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. In case you were wondering, he still stinks. Caleb Farley 2-0. Kevin Byard 3-0. Roger McCreary struggled in one-on-ones. He gave up two touchdowns, one to DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, you're just – Roger McCreary's not going to beat DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, welcome to the big leagues.
Yeah, exactly. And another one, I didn't grab the number, but I think it was some sort of scrub for Arizona. It was somebody that I didn't think, oh, wow, that's a guy that should beat Roger McCreary. But overall, Christian Fulton had a pretty good one-on-one. He had great, great coverage on Greg Dortch.
Hey, Greg Dortch, he lit U of L up one time.
Yeah, great coverage for Christian Fulton there.
Well, he lit us up.
Also, great coverage by Caleb Farley on DeAndre Hopkins, and then on that next play, Roger McCreary gave up another touchdown. So a little bit of good, a little bit of bad in one-on-ones. 7-on-7, Chris Jackson.
He got dragged
by one of the wide receivers, and it was like a nobody, somebody that I had to look at the roster and be there and say, who the heck is that guy?
Like our guy Vincent Smith last week for Tampa Bay?
Whatever his name
was. Who, by the way,
was.
Got cut on Sunday?
See, there you go. If this guy's still on the roster by Sunday, I would be shocked. Christian Fulton, again, really great coverage on Trey McBride. Not a ton that I took out of 7-on-7, but Caleb Farley got outrun by an absolute mile on one of those snaps, and also Greg Maben got called for holding, and I can't say exactly why I know that, but he did.
Let me say this. Farley's getting beat deep too much.
Farley, what I noticed in one-on-ones and 7-on-7, he would do something really good, and then turn around and get beat by some nobody. So I don't really understand.
Was it one of these ones
where the middle is with
the guy was just
Farley.
Running past Farley, and Farley was behind him, just chugging behind him?
No, like he was with him at the line of scrimmage, and he just got left like
and when
blown
you turned around,
past him.
Like Farley was like way behind.
Way behind, yeah. And couldn't really follow the route
so
very well.
That has now happened against the Titans in Titan practice. Mm-hmm. That happened against Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay practice. That happened against Tampa Bay in the game. Scotty Miller beat him, and if Kyle Trask delivers a good ball, that's a touchdown. And now it has happened in Cardinals practice.
Yeah.
So, again, Cliff Kingsbury and Vrabel, I guess, decided they didn't want to do a whole bunch of stuff. I guess Arizona's really beat up, and they played on Sunday. So the idea of them playing on Sunday and turning around and, you know, being physical on Wednesday – they didn't think would be a good idea. I understand that. I mean, even Thursday night football, they don't play so close up against one another. So I guess I get it. So tomorrow, Arizona will practice at Vanderbilt. The Titans will practice here. And Tannehill today said he doesn't think he needs the preseason. Not that it matters because he's not going to play in the preseason. But he says he doesn't think he needs the preseason. He thinks he's ready to go. So maybe there's a little positivity there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Again, not an overly eventful practice other than the two-minute drills, and I didn't think the Titans were very good in the two-minute either on offense or defense. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your thoughts. All right, so I have to get off my chest what's truly bothering me right now because it is really starting to pile up. We'll get to that next. Caroline, though, wants to tell us about the Caesar Sportsbook app.
It is time for the Caesar Sportsbook Report. Now, first things first, your first bet with Caesar Sportsbook is on Caesars, up to $1,250. So just download the app and use the promo code RADIOFULL, RADIOFULL, one word, and then place your first bet. It's that easy. So if you win, then congratulations. You'll get that money back. But if not, no worries. You'll get that stake back as a free bet. Now, if you need something to put that money on, Caesars has got a little bit of an odds boost going on at the moment for no-run games with the upcoming games tonight, Angels at Rays and Reds at Phillies. So if you think that that could be a pretty low-scoring game, so put some money on it with the Caesars Sportsbook app. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. If qualifying bet loses, bet amount returned as a credit. Must use within 14 days. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Caesars Sportsbook. Download it, people.
What's your level of concern with Treylon at this point with the lack of consistency?
I don't really try to get overly concerned. You know, I mean, I try to coach and try to figure out who's available each and every day. I mean, we've been through a lot. It's a long season. And whether it's Treylon, whether it's Deshaun Hand, whether it's, you know, go right on down the list of, you know, guys that, you know, may or may not be there, we just put the next guy in. Like, that's what we've always done. That's what we're going to continue to do. And that's how it goes.
That was Vrabel. I don't get concerned with the fact that Treylon Burks had a great first day of practice, and since then he's shown flashes of his ability, but in the two preseason games hasn't done anything. And in the preseason practices, he did a couple things against the Bucks that first day, and then he went into the training room. And today he was out there, and then he went into the training room. And I'm sorry, but today was the last real day of the Titans, in my opinion. Today was the last real day of competition for the Tennessee Titans. So they'll play a game on Saturday. Dez Fitzpatrick will get plenty of passes thrown to him. Dez Fitzpatrick doesn't matter. Dez Fitzpatrick will not be, I don't think Dez will make the team, but he will not be catching passes from Ryan Tannehill against the New York Giants on week one, September 11th at Nissan Stadium. And that is what is starting to just drive me freaking insane, is the amount of things that are wrong right now with this football team that it's just like Vrabel said right there. You know, I don't really concern myself on the Burks. I just try to coach him as my man. It could be like Deshaun Ant. I have him listed out. I don't know. I have him listed out. One, Burks can't stay on the field. That's driving me nuts. I hate to break it to everybody out there, which ties me into number two, which is setting me off. But everybody out there that's saying, well, Westbrook Akine has shown that he could be the... No, he has not. He is a third wide receiver in the NFL. He is a role player. They cannot expect Westbrook Akine to replace A.J. Brown. They cannot expect that. And for everybody out there, I heard the morning show today talking about, you know, hey, I would pick up Nick Westbrook Akine in fantasy football. And I was like, whoa. Lord have mercy, they better not. He better not be racking up fantasy points because he ain't that good. So, and it's proven in these practices because he catches the ball when it's thrown to him, but he never does anything special. Why? Because he's not a special player. And Burks has to be a special player, and he can't stay on the field. And so that's getting me worked up. Racy McMath had a great first 3 weeks of practice or whatever. He drops a pass every day.
Yeah, he does.
You know how long it's going to take before that gets old in the game? One time. One time. When he drops a ball that Tannehill throws deep in week three against the Raiders, and he drops it, and you lose. And that's driving me nuts. The right tackle position. They have no veterans on the roster. They had no foresight to take the kid who absolutely freaking sucked last year and could not be active in the Cincinnati Bengals playoff game, and they just were going to gift wrap him the position with no sense of, hey, what if this doesn't work out? I love my house, but guess what? There's a chance something could happen. That's why I have homeowner's insurance. It's not that hard, right? I love my car. There's a reason I wear a seatbelt, because something could happen. And what did they do at right tackle? They bring in a veteran? No. Did they tender Dennis Kelly or Questenberry a contract?
No, they did not.
No, $2.2 million. And so now they got 78 out there, Petit Frere, who might be an NFL player. Trevor seemed iffy on that, but more willing to discuss it than Raidens. And he gets two illegal procedure penalties. And I know he'll learn. He gets two illegal procedure penalties. This is the last day. This is the last competition before the Giants. Farley, every freaking day, Farley gets beat deep. And I know he hasn't played a lot of football, and I know he's basically a rookie. He's coming off his injury. I know, and I asked Vrabel about it the other day. Vrabel didn't seem that mad about it, but he's getting beat deep by McMath. He's getting beat deep by Vincent Smith of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who literally got cut on Monday. He's getting beat by Scotty Miller. He got beat by whoever today from Arizona.
I don't even know.
I mean, it's like eventually... Get your head on the freaking guy and stop staring into the backfield so that the guy can run behind you, because that's what's happening. And so while the positive Tannehill stuff, Tannehill looks better in training camp, and I agree. I am not arguing that's not true. I'm not arguing that I haven't seen that. I'm not arguing any of that. But it's just a bunch of crap with the Titans. It's like, how do we feel about right tackle? I don't know. I don't want that. Like, even tight end, where I don't think they have a dynamic superstar. But at least I'm comfortable with the guy that they have at tight end. I'm comfortable with Robert Woods. I'm comfortable with what they have at right guard. I'm comfortable right now with what they have at quarterback and running back. But, I mean, my goodness gracious, it's like these things that the team, they banked on. And it's like, what are they going to do at right tackle?
I don't know.
What are they going to do to replace A.J. Brown? Yeah, I don't concern myself with Treylon Burks. I don't concern myself with that, just like I don't concern myself with Deshaun Hand. You're right, Mike. I don't concern myself with Deshaun Hand either.
But I do concern myself with the first round pick.
There's two reasons why I don't concern myself with Deshaun Hand. One, they're loaded on defensive line. And two, because nobody, Deshaun Hand is not in here to replace A.J. Brown, who was the most important part of the offense last year. A.J. Brown was more important than Derrick Henry. When Derrick Henry was in there, they won. When Derrick Henry went out, they won. When A.J. Brown was in, they won. When A.J. Brown was out, they lost. Just go back to the Jets game. Go back there. Derrick ran for 150 yards, and they still looked like a steaming pile of manure in that game because A.J. Brown wasn't out there. So somebody has to replace A.J. Brown. They literally used the pick to draft A.J.'s replacement, and he cannot stay on the field. And I don't think it's the asthma thing. What I think happened is the Saturday practice after the Ravens game, I think Burks got rolled up on. It looked bad. Chris Sanders and I were standing right there in front of it, and he kind of limped around and tried to walk it off, and then practice ended right then and there. I think he's probably still bothered by that. But if he's still bothered by that, that he has to keep going back into the training room, then don't put him on the field against Tampa Bay, in which he could get more hurt or whatever. But Vrabel, I mean, oh, yeah, no, he's not worried about Burks. I'm not concerned. I'm not. Dude, like, this team right now plays a number one schedule. I believe they play the second toughest schedule in the NFL. This team was the one seed last year. This team has high expectations. I have high expectations for this team. And it's like, well, they're going to do a right tackle. I don't know. And so will they figure it out? Maybe. They've figured out things in the past. But it's really starting to piss me off. The amount of things out there on the practice field. I'm like, how many times do I have to watch McMath drop the ball? How many times?
That's getting old.
How many times do I have to watch Farley get beat deep by somebody and then watch Blaine Gabbert overthrow the guy so everybody has some false sense of security that it doesn't matter because when that's Derek Carr, that's a touchdown. And Farley has to play this year. I know McCreary's ahead of him and is going to start ahead of him, but Farley has to play.
But McCreary's not perfect either.
I am all freaking flustered about this football team. And then I have little things that I don't care about, like the punter. I don't care that the rookie punter can kick it 800 yards. I don't care about that. Brett Kern, put him in at punter. I can trust him. Put him in there. So now I'm like, do I have to worry about this? Do I have to get all worked up that Vrabel's going to run a rookie punter out there that can't catch a snap? And I kind of am. I kind of am worried that Vrabel's going to screw around with the punter, just like he did. Ian, you remember last time he screwed around with the punter?
Oh, yeah, that did not go well. That cost them the Colts game, I believe, right?
So, for the people out there, remember a couple weeks ago when I said I was getting worried about that I was getting too peachy at training camp?
Yes.
I feel fine now. I feel normal.
You're back
now.
At it. Back to yourself.
I feel good
back
about
to your normal
me.
Self.
And right now, the team, it's like the team is 80% of it I like. 20% I don't like. And the 20%'s driving me nuts.
It's discouraging. The right tackle position has been bugging us this entire time.
Mess.
To be completely fair.
It's a mess.
But the Treylon Burks thing, I think about whenever we came out for this first practice in training camp, at least I went into it saying all eyes will be on Treylon Burks because Treylon Burks needs to prove that he can, one, stay on the field, and two, do something while he's on it. And then once we saw that first practice and he went up and had jumped up for that great catch, had a good rest of the practice, stayed on the field. Practice two, had a good practice, stayed on the field. That I felt like, at least for me, I saw enough from Treylon Burks in the first week to 2.5 weeks that I stopped worrying about Treylon Burks. And then in the preseason games, I'm wondering, well, where, he's incognito. And then it's the, okay, well, he can't throw the ball to himself. And I get that. I understand. All he can do is get open. And if Malik doesn't throw him the ball, then that's not his fault. But I'm starting to get back into my pre-training camp mindset with Treylon Burks of I just have to hold my breath and hope that he can at least stay on the field. And that's not a good mindset to be in.
Have to trust star players. Have to trust star players on the field. Have to trust them off the field. And have to trust them to stay on the field. And so Burks has to be a star. He has to be a star. Farley, you know I don't give two poops about cornerbacks in the NFL. I think cornerbacks are made in large part because of their pass rush. But you can't get beat deep on every play.
Yeah.
Can't get beat deep every practice, every game, every opportunity that you have on the football field. Racy McMath can't keep dropping the ball, just like he dropped the ball against the Steelers and turned it over, and that cost the Titans a game last year. And then right tackle. I'm not doing 4 hours on right tackle like we did three yesterday, but that is on my list. To your phones next, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Am I being too much of a grouch? I do think that we need to discuss that here on the program. Chris Sanders later this hour will certainly cheer me up. That I am completely aware of. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063, the game.
Several players talked about the fact that mistakes happen, but what you hope is they're new mistakes, not repeat mistakes. Does a day like today expose some of that as a great teaching lesson off of it?
I mean, mistakes are going to be part of this game. It's part of life, how you handle them, how you come back, and not trying to make, like you said, the same mistake twice or let them kind of mount up, you know, let them start to snowball and continue to think about, you know, what it is that you you know, did wrong, and we got to move on. There's a lot of snaps in the game. There's a lot of ups and downs, and we got to try to find a way that no matter what the result of the play was, is get back to neutral, get back centered, and find a way to do our job the next snap, figure out what the situation is. Is it third down? Is it second and 10? Where am I at on the field? What personnel group there? You know, I mean, there's so many things that, you know, we try to get them to think about next as opposed to the mistake they made. So, you know, we'll look at it and we'll continue to coach it. And you know, I thought it was a good day of work.
There you go. That was Vrabel today. Hey, man, mistakes are a part of the game. Well, if Caleb Farley gets beat deep like he did today, like he did Saturday night, like he did on Wednesday of last week, like he did during practice against the Titans, you lose. If Treylon Burks can't get out there trying to replace A.J. Brown and all of a sudden you're stuck with Nick Westbrook, Akine, and Kyle Phillips, and don't even get me started on the Kyle Phillips stuff. I like Kyle Phillips fine. I think the amount of excitement from the local media surrounding Kyle Phillips is ridiculous. He will be like every other slot receiver in the league, like Cole Beasley, like Edelman was, like Scotty Miller, like all these other slot receivers in the NFL. And if the quarterback is Peyton Manning, then he'll put up great stats. If the quarterback is not, then he'll put up the stats like every other slot receiver in the NFL, which is fine. Those guys are chain movers. I like them. But it's nothing to get all crazy about. And, you know, I hear people, again, the morning show, God bless them, and I love them, talking about fantasy, Nick Westbrook, Akina, and Kyle Phillips. Which, hey, I don't care about fantasy football by any stretch of the imagination. But nobody should be drafting anybody that plays for the Titans in fantasy football at receiver other than Robert Woods. And it should be Treylon Burks, and he's not. Do you have a thought or you want to go to the phones?
To the phones.
Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Chris Sanders in 10 minutes will probably cheer me up a little bit. A.G., the president of the John Robinson Fan Club. Go ahead, A.G.
I'm finna tear you up right now. You ain't got to wait for Chris Sanders. This level of disrespect to the Titans organization is downright egregious, man. We go through this every single preseason with you, Jerry. And I love you, man, but I hate that we got to go through this every year. We got the best defensive line possibly in the whole NFL. We got Derrick Henry, the best running back in the NFL without a question or a doubt. You keep talking about right tackle. We've been taking bombs at right tackle and taking them to the Kentucky Derby. What are you talking about?
Petit Forever probably
better than Quisenberry and all the rest of them dudes that we done had at right tackle. That ain't even no discussion for me. And if we got to let A.J. Brown go in order to get Amani Hooker and Kuno or whatever his name is at tight end, Robert Woods, Kyle Phillips, Traylon Burks. Man, I ain't even going to keep going, Jared. This is ridiculous.
Here's the thing, A.G., I love you. Here's the thing with everything you just said, and I appreciate your call. That's so optimistic. He talks about Petit Frere and like, hey, and these bums like Dennis Kelly and David Questenberry last year. And now, I mean, look at, they got Petit Frere. He's going to, he can't even get lined up.
Well, and to AG's point about if we had to trade A.J. Brown in order to get Chigga Conquo and Traylon Burks and Kyle Phillips and Nicholas Petit Frere, they haven't done anything in a game yet.
No.
So it's okay. I understand being optimistic about what the potential of all of these rookies can be. But whenever one of those players messes up in a game, drops a ball, you know, doesn't have great blocking on Nicholas Petit Frere's end, then people aren't going to think like that. The first thought is going to be, we traded A.J. Brown for this guy who can't stay on the field?
Well, the problem is right now, Burks showed it the first day of practice, and he made a catch against Tampa Bay that showed a little bit of this too, is like Okonkwo is probably going to be a good, solid tight end, but he's not going to be a star. Phillips is not going to be a star. These guys are not going to be stars. A.J. Brown was a star. And stars win championships. The Rams won a championship because they had Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp on their team. Stars. That is how a team wins. When he brought up Derrick Henry, you bet your sweet butt Derrick Henry might be able to make up for all of that. Because Derrick Henry has made up for a lot of problems over the last couple of years. But that's my whole point. Like, that's what bothers me about the AJ thing is that right now they need star play out of Traylon Burks, and they're not getting any star play. And they're not going to get star play from Westbrook Akine. Adam in Portland is up next. Thank you for calling. What's up, Adam?
Do you want star play from Malik Willis?
I don't think they're going to get star play this season from Malik Willis.
Neither do I. That's my point, man. And just hear me out here. I know you don't like this part, but he's a rookie. Traylon Burks is a rookie. I'm trying to understand it in my head. Like, why put the expectation on one rookie but not on the other? I understand where he was drafted, but
because you pay more money.
Okay, clearly he's not where you need him to be yet. He's the same age as the other rookies, man. It's the same thing. But, like, I don't know. You guys talk pretty good about McCreary, but, like, they're not being held up like Traylon Burks is being held up the same way Corey Davis was treated, which I don't think Corey was ready that first year. Like, don't draft the guy there, you know? Like, trade out of that round or something. If you've got to put so much pressure on these guys and you've got to have them play immediately, don't even draft them. Go get it in free agency. Like, I want to cut Traylon Burks a little bit of slack because – I feel like, why can't we just be the Titans who have a great running game and a good tight end and a great defense and be that? That's we've done it. We know how to do that here. We've done it for 20 years. So why can't we be that?
That team had A.J. Brown.
Well, like, no. I'm talking
just
about
brought
our
up
Titans
that, that 2020 team, the way that they've been winning with Tannehill at quarterback, that team's had A.J. Brown every year.
900 yards, like that. He's a 900 yards worth of difference. This is what I'm saying. All right, listen. Back in the day, the old Titans, they lived off that tight end. You could talk about D-Mace and Drew Bennett every once in a while, whatever. But they were a running team who hit the tight end. That's how you get a quarterback who's not fantastic out of trouble. And then why can't we just be that team?
Because that team had John Runyon, an all-pro at right tackle.
Our line's not as good. I mean, the line. You're right. The line's not as good. But I see comparisons. Why can't we just stick to an identity instead of putting a lot of pressure on a rookie?
That team, Adam, I appreciate your call. That team had stability. That team had an unbelievable pass rush that could be counted on. This team should have a good pass rush. But that team, like what that team had is they had a Derrick Henry, which this team has. They had a Jeffrey Simmons, which this team has, like the old way the Titans used to win. And then they had Derek Mason setting an NFL record for all-purpose yards in a season. I'm trying to get this through to people about star players. Like, they're different. They're different than role players. And that's where I look at some of these young guys, and I'm like, right tackle, I'm about to pee my pants because I'm so scared that they have nobody there and no insurance policy, and they can't even get lined up there. And you want to compare it to a team that had an all-pro at right tackle, and then when they lost John Runyon, they turned around, signed Fred Miller away from the defending champion Rams. Like, that right tackle's a big deal now. Yeah. Wide receiver one is a big deal. When this team has one big option in a passing game, and they trade that one big option away, the guy that they acquire in return has to be good. He has to be good. There is no sugarcoating it. And so
those unfair expectations for Treylon Burks? Honestly, I don't really care.
Think about a hotel.
Those are the expectations when you're a good player and you're drafted in the first round.
Think about a hotel. You stay at a three-star hotel and it kind of stinks. Then you're going to say, well, I stayed at a three-star hotel and it kind of stinks. You're paying for a five-star hotel, and it has all the reviews. You better have, like, freaking marble countertops in the bathroom. You better have a freaking beautiful floor when you walk in that lobby. There better be a restaurant where everything is overcharged. Like, that is overpriced. That is because that's what you're paying for. So when it's like, hey, you don't want the third-round quarterback to play right away, right, because he was their fourth pick. He was their fourth pick this year. He was picked 86th in the draft. They had four opportunities to take him, and they didn't do it before they took him at 86. So, obviously, don't have big expectations. They took him with the 18th pick, and they traded away maybe the most important player on offense. So, yeah, I'd expect him to be able to help the football team out. And, again, maybe I'm wrong about all this. And the other part is, maybe once the good players get out there and they start playing real football, that these deficiencies that are bothering me will be masked by Henry and Simmons and Byard and David Long and all these guys, that they'll mask those deficiencies because that's what star players do. And that's what AJ did for this team last year. And that's what Derrick Henry did for this team last year. Chris will join us next. Boy, I'm all riled up today. What was it about today's practice that got me going?
Today felt a little sloppier than others.
I don't know what it is, but it got me
And you were on offense today. You've been on defense.
Chris Sanders joins us next. Hey, we are your racing station, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Saturday at 5 o'clock for the Coke Zero Sugar 400. NASCAR on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Be sure to join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell this Friday night for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz from 6 to midnight, where they'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. And I think we have to give a shout-out to NBA's football team that beat Ravenwood 46-20. No disrespect to Ravenwood. We love Ravenwood, too. But Chris Sanders in the NBA Big Red, 46-20. Congratulations, Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, who joins us on the program, as always presented by our friends at Parman Energy, now hiring fuel drivers. Visit ParmanEnergy.com. Chris, I'm in a bad mood.
Oh, you're always in a bad mood.
I'm in a bad mood. The trailing, but there's just little things that are bothering me about the Titans, and I just don't see a solution. For instance, Treylon Burks was out there on the practice field a little bit today, went back into the locker room. We did not see him at all in the two-minute drill against Arizona. They've kicked Raidens out of the right tackle competition, but Petit Ferrer gets two illegal procedure penalties in the 11-on-11 period. Racy McMath keeps dropping the ball. Caleb Farley keeps getting beat deep. There are these little things that cost teams ball games, Chris Sanders. How worked up should I be?
I mean, I don't think you should be concerned yet, because this is what preseason's for, and I know I'm going to sound like a coach, but, I mean, they're going to work out the kinks, and, you know, Mike Vrabel's definitely going to get it together. But the only thing that I'm concerned about, it's getting ready to start the season, and you're still hearing the same thing. We talked a little bit about OTAs. We talked about, you know, in camp that Treylon Burks has consistently been out. That's the one thing I'm concerned about, because can I count on Treylon Burks? I'm saying this respectfully, but if the game is on the line and you haven't played four quarters yet in a game, can I count on you? And then we talk about the right tackle situation with Dylan Raidens and Petit Ferrer. I can't pronounce the name right. But who's going to win that position? Who's going to step up and make plays? Who's going to be dominant in that same situation? And also you talk about, you know, Racy McMath. I mean, it was the big buzz about him being in camp, making those, you know, spectacular plays and those flashy plays. I don't want to see that. I want to see a consistent receiver, you know, day in and day out, and that's what we're not seeing.
Chris, when you played, how many mistakes were there and how many problems were there that deep down inside you knew when we get to the real games, Eddie George and Javon Curse will make up, and Samari Roll and Derek Mason and Blaine Bishop, they'll make up for these problems?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is it starts in the meeting room. And when you're in the meeting room, our leader on our offense was Eddie George, and it was Steve McNair. And the one thing that we did, there was no screaming, there was no shouting, there was no grabbing each other's face masks. It's just that Steve McNair said, I expect you to make plays. I expect you to be in the window. I expect you to do what you're supposed to. So we just had an attitude of when I'm in the game, and also we had a lot of receivers. When I was in the game, we just made sure we did our job. It wasn't a concern. It wasn't guys panicking. It's because we've been through this situation before. When we started 8-8, you know, a couple of years before that, but in that 1999 season, it was different because we kept each other accountable. We made sure guys were in their right spot, and here's what we did that made it so special. We practiced hard like it was a Super Bowl every single day, and we demanded to get it done.
Chris Sanders is our guest here on the program. What do you make of the right tackle spot now that Dylan Radins is no longer getting reps, not only with the first team, he's not even getting the second team reps.
Wow.
Terry McCormick put out there that Christian DeLauro is running with the twos. Radins is with the twos at left guard. What do you make of that?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's very disappointing because I think it was a couple of years ago when they drafted Dylan Radins. We was unsure, and you looked at me, and you were going crazy during the draft. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, this is a situation that we keep talking about every single year about the right tackle, right tackle. You know, and I'm not going to put, you know, Mike Vrabel or J-Rob and say anything mean about them. But the one thing I'm maybe a little disappointed is you really didn't address this when it actually was going on. So they're going to have to figure it out quick because you got to understand you're playing the Bills, you're playing the Raiders, you're playing the Colts, you're playing the Chiefs, you're playing the Packers, you're playing some great defensive line. And if you don't get that situated now, it can become a problem.
Chris, what do you make of Caleb Farley and how he keeps getting beat deep at least what feels like once a day? Charles Davis brought this up on the team's TV broadcast Saturday night about his head maybe being turned into the backfield a little bit. It just keeps happening over and over again. How concerned should we be about Farley?
I mean, you got to be concerned because if I'm an offense coordinator and I see that he is really been an aggressive corner, because everybody talks about he's a sticky corner. When I say sticky corner, he guesses sometimes. And if you're guessing, you better believe the offensive coordinator and the quarterback is really going to attack that. So, you know, he's got to make it a point to where he looks at film and figure out what he's doing wrong. Because me and TD talks about this all the time, that, you know, he consistently gets beat. I mean, I understand he can cover the intermediate routes, but he's got to make sure he trusts the technique, you know, from his coach. So if he does that, I think he'd be successful. But if you're getting beat deep now in practice and getting beat in 7-on-7 and getting beat in team and that consistently happens, then I think the defensive coordinator, Shane Bourne, is going to have to make a decision to play Caleb Farley or McCurry from Auburn. So that's going to have to be a big decision that Shane Bourne is going to have to make.
Chris Sanders is with us. What do you like right now about the team in the preseason?
Oh, man, I love the defense. I mean, I know we're talking about the offense and, you know, offensive woes and, you know, Traylon Burks not playing well and Racy McMath dropping balls, all this stuff. But we always talk about this. I know this sounds kind of corny or cliche, but we say defense wins championships. And looking what the Tennessee Titans defense is doing, I mean, they're all over the place. They're creating turnovers. You know, you can see the identity forming on that side, and Weaver's playing well, and Autry's playing well. All those guys are playing well. So even if we're disappointed with the offense, the bright side about this Tennessee Titans team is their defense. They have been playing lights out, physical.
Chris Sanders is with us. What should I be more worried about right now? The right tackle spot or Traylon Burks' lack of I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. Lack of star power, lack of big play, lack of availability, whatever it may be. The Burks dilemma or the right tackle spot? What should I be more worried about?
Oh, Traylon Burks, 100%. I mean, I know everybody's talking about the right tackle and the struggle that the offensive line had, because if you look at last year, even though they were switching, you know, guys in and out of different positions, they still were successful in the running game. The one thing I'm concerned about this offense, and you said alluded to it earlier, is Traylon Burks. The reason why is because you better believe that the defenses are going to load the box. When I say load the box, that means they're putting everybody in there and they're going cover one in the back end. That's man-to-man across the board in one safety. And if you don't have a guy on the perimeter like an A.J. Brown to take advantage of that one-on-one coverage, then all of a sudden you're going to be behind the chains. You're going to feel the offense is going to feel like they're in trouble absolutely every time. So Treylon Burks, he's got to get healthy. He's got to come out there and make plays. He's got to get reps in practice. And if he doesn't come out there and show up and they can't count on him, who's going to step up and take that number one or two position at wide receiver?
Chris, how worried would you be if the Titans have to rely on Nick Westbrook-Ikhine to be their number two wide receiver?
I would be a little bit concerned. I understand he's a solid receiver. I'm not saying that he's not any good, because you wouldn't be in this league if you wasn't any good. But, see, the thing about it is we need a player that's going to scare the defense. And when you look at this Tennessee Titans roster, I mean, you have Treylon Burks, you have Kyle Phillips, you have Cody Hollister, you have Mason Kinsey, you have Dez Fitzpatrick. You name all those guys, what guy on that list opposes fear in a defense? Nobody. I mean, I know we have Woods, but he's coming off an injury, and there's nobody that scares you. So I am concerned about the situation, because all I'll do is I'll go cover one and go man-to-man, Imano on the outside, and dare you to beat us in the passing. So that's why we need somebody to step up.
Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, as always. He does a fine job. Chris, appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you. Love you guys. All right.
Yep, Chris All Sanders right. joining us on the program. That did not cheer me up like I thought it was going to cheer me up.
Well, I think that's the reality.
Chris Sanders, fueled by Parman Energy, now hiring fuel drivers. Visit ParmanEnergy.com. Should we be? Is dejected the right word? Pessimistic?
No.
Angry?
Frustrated?
Disappointed?
Disappointed and frustrated.
Worried?
Pessimistic,
anxious.
I don't think is fair.
What is the right word here?
Concerned, frustrated.
All right, let's use the word concerned.
Okay.
Because I asked Mike Vrabel about his concern level about Treylon Burks. What he said, and I can't believe if he's telling the truth or not. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.